Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul is writing to those who have personally been made the recipients of God's salvation in Christ, and he includes himself in that company with the word us. Notice us which are saved. He's speaking of the state of being saved. Us which are saved. Notice that he also speaks of another group of people whom he refers to as them. Them that perish. They are in a state, they are in a perishing, decaying state. They are in a state of ruin. Two groups of people mentioned. Them that perish, us which are saved. And everyone belongs to one of those two groups. Notice that between the them that perish and the us which are saved is the word but. Indicative, of course, of a contrast. And oh, what a contrast there is between them that perish and us which are saved. There is a contrast in their present state and condition. There is a contrast, of course, in their eternal destination. And the contrast specifically mentioned in this verse is that of an attitude toward the preaching of the cross. Them that perish consider it foolishness. Us that are saved, it is the power of God. But again, every one of us can identify with us which are saved. At one time, we were identified with them that perish. And the truth is, we would forever be identified with them that perish were it not for that word, saved. That is a difference-making word. It is a wonderful and marvelous word. It is a word that we ought to just say just for the sake of saying. Saved. It's a wonderful word. It's a word that speaks of a life-changing event. No one wrote more about being saved than Paul. It was a subject in which he absolutely marveled. It was something that truly amazed him. When Paul penned those words, us which are saved, I believe he did so engrossed with that thought. Us which are saved. I believe he did so with joy and thanksgiving and praise bubbling up within him. Saved. That was a word, that was something just the thought of that revived Paul. If that won't revive you, your debt. It was something that invigorated Paul. Saved. It was something that inspired his spirit. Saved. It was something that he was very conscious of. Something that he was always mindful of. It was something that he was personally confident and assured of. And as you read his epistles, he was very much aware of who saved him. And he was very much aware of how it came about. And as you read the epistles of Paul and as you observe his life in the book of Acts, it is unmistakably clear that he never got past the thrill of being saved. He never got past the excitement. He never got past the wonder of being saved. And I believe that the longer Paul lived, the more it amazed him that he was saved. And the greater his excitement, the longer he lived. It's very clearly manifested in his letters and from what is recorded of him in the book of Acts that being saved was something that impacted every aspect of his life. And it was a motivating force in him serving the Lord. If being saved does not motivate you to serve God, you have every reason to question whether or not you've truly been saved. That's a big problem today. And a lot of preachers waste a lot of time trying to motivate unsaved people. You might as well go down to the funeral home and talk to the dead and try to motivate them. It's the same thing. I'm going to speak today on living in the reality and awareness of saved. Is that real to us? Is it real? First of all, in order to live in the reality and awareness of saved, we must have a proper perspective of what it means to be saved. Again, reading the epistles, it is quite apparent that Paul fully realized that at one time he was the them that perish. And every one of us today who can identify with us which are saved, at one time we were to them that perish. All of us today ought to be able to remember what it was like to be the them that perish. When we were the them that perish, and if you belong to that group today, and everyone here belongs to either them that perish or us which are saved. Them that perish, when we were them, we were spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. We were alienated from the life of God. We were far off from God. We were at enmity with God. We were rejectors of God. We were rebels against God. We were in the bondage of sin. We were a servant of sin. We were under the dominion of Satan. And we were in the realm and under the power of darkness. We were deceived. We were ignorant. We were blind. We were hardened. We were void of righteousness, ungodly, unprofitable, and lost. That describes the them that perish. We were headed for eternal destruction. Not only that, but we loved the darkness. So much so that we walked according to the course of Satan. We walked according to the course of the world. We walked in the vanity of our depraved mind, serving depraved lusts and pleasures. There we were, guilty before God. There we were under the condemnation and curse of God. Deserving, fully deserving, personally deserving of God's wrath. Living without God. Living without Christ. All that we would remember, the helplessness and misery of them that perish. We were the them that perish. Some that are sitting here, you are the them that perish. Paul also wrote, us which are saved. We said earlier that that speaks of a state, and it does. But it also speaks of an event that has literally taken place. Too many claim to be saved, and the event has never taken place. Us which are saved. That means an event has taken place. The word saved, again, it's a wonderful word. It implies many things. It is a discharge. It is a rescue. It is an emancipation. If we're saved, that event had to take place. There had to be a time in our life when we were rescued and emancipated. The word save conveys the idea of being saved from something. And we weren't saved from drowning. We weren't saved from a burning house. We were saved from something far greater, which we'll see in a moment. But the very word saved speaks of a past danger. It speaks of a past threat. It speaks of a hardship. It speaks of misery and suffering and bondage and slavery, imprisonment. All of us who can personally identify with us which are saved had a personal experience. And if you have not had the personal experience, then you do not belong to the us which are saved. But every one of us who are in that group, us which are saved, have had a personal experience and a definite time when we were delivered. When we were released, liberated, rescued, emancipated from the greatest hazard and threat there is, from the greatest hardship and suffering and misery and bondage and imprisonment. We were emancipated from sin and its penalty. There was an event that took place. All of us who can personally identify with us which are saved, there was a time in our life when we were personally rescued out of the them that perish. There we were living in the them that perish, and there was a time in our life when God came and rescued us out of the them that perish. We lived in the them that perished. But there was a definite time, a definite point in our life, while we were dwelling, standing, sitting, walking in the them that perish, and God sought us out of the sewer of fallen humanity. It was an event that took place. And He reached down in the depths. And only God can reach that far into the depths. He reached down into the depths of our unrighteousness. You see, because those that are in the them that perish, they are in the depths of unrighteousness and wickedness. And He reached down in the depths of our alienation and our estrangement. And He reached down, there we were, way, way down in the depths of darkness and enmity and spiritual bankruptcy and condemnation. But there was a time, there was an event, and God reached down into those depths and He broke. He broke the holding and binding power of sin. This is something that happened to all those who are in the us which are saved. And He raised us up from a spiritual grave. And may I say, there is no worse grave than a spiritual grave. And He raised us up from a spiritual grave. And He brought us out from under the terrible weight of sin and death. And He lifted us from the vile and filth and the wretchedness of our unsaved condition, delivering and freeing us from the curse of the law, delivering and freeing us from the hand of divine justice. Paul had a real and personal experience of salvation, and he lived in the awareness of such. Again, we have far, far too many today who are very quick to identify with the us which are saved, but an event has never occurred in their life. And you cannot get from the them that perish to the us which are saved without this event taking place. Can't be done. So here we are. No longer in the them that perish, but now in the us which are saved. And we must be fully aware, genealogy did not bring us out from them that perish and bring us into us which are saved. Religion didn't do it either. Baptism didn't do it either. Membership in a New Testament landmark, missionary, Baptist, sovereign grace, separated, premillennial, King James only church, didn't do it either. Hail Mary beads didn't do it. Good works didn't do it. Good intentions didn't do it. The prayers of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa didn't do it. And the will of man didn't do it. God did it. Saved. Saved. This is more than a repeated prayer. This is more than someone telling you that you're saved. This is more than telling yourself you're saved. You tell yourself something long enough, you'll believe it. I don't care what it is. And you tell yourself long enough and enough times, yes, I'm saved, doesn't make it so. Something had to happen. This is a personal experience, an actual occurrence at a specific time and place. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. All of us who can personally identify with us which are saved, we sit here today, the recipients of a miracle. A miracle that surpasses all the awe-inspiring miracles recorded in the Bible. A miracle that surpasses even the miracle of creation. You and I are the recipients of such a miracle. Saved. Saved. That means that I have literally passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Now, how can you pass from such and not know it? Saved. I'm a new creature. That's much more than being raised and trained to act a certain way. And children ought to be raised and trained to act properly. But saved, I'm a new creature. This is more than training. Saved, I have the forgiveness of sins. Means my sins have been taken away. Means that they're purged. Remembered by God no more. Saved. That means that I'm reconciled to God. I am fully justified in the sight of God. Accepted fully in Jesus Christ. Saved means that I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I have been delivered from the power of darkness. And I have been delivered from the wrath to come. Saved. I will never come into condemnation. Saved. That means that I am a child of God. An heir of God. A joint heir with Christ. I've obtained an inheritance. Saved. That means I'm rich beyond measure. It means that I have more than all of those put together into them that perish. Why would you envy the them that perish? We're rich. We that are saved. I have been made complete in Christ. I am a partaker of Christ. I have been clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am in Christ, and He is in me through the Holy Spirit. Saved. That's a wonderful word. It means that I am a sheep. of His flock. It means that I have peace with God. It means that I am a citizen of heaven. That I have sufficiency in all things. And I have grace in abundant supply. Saved. Being saved, I have access to God. At one time, I was to them that perish, and I was alienated from God. But I've been brought out of the them that perish and put into the us which are saved, and I have access to God. That would mean I would be an utter fool not to take advantage of that access to God. Saved. That means that I have a sovereign God who is always working all things for my good. And all my needs are already supplied in Jesus Christ. Saved. That means I'm His workmanship. You see, all of mankind, all of creation, is God's workmanship. But we that have been saved, we are His workmanship in a special way. That is, we are His working. Salvation is the working of God. Don't you dare say that you are His workmanship and you believe that a prayer saved your soul. It's His work. I am kept by the power of God. I am preserved in Christ. Saved. That means that I am more than a conqueror through Him. It means that I have a building of God eternal in the heavens and a place prepared for me in glory. I have a glorious future. I'm on my way to being forever with the Lord. Now, if you look at most people who profess to be saved, it'd be hard to believe that they believe that. Looking at their demeanor, looking at their attitude, it's very shocking that they believe that they're saved. Saved. What a wonderful, wonderful word. In all of this that we've just mentioned, came about through the plan of God. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't something that happened because you hung around with saved people. That'd be like saying you're in the army because you're near an army base. It's ridiculous. And that's what a lot of people believe. I'm saved because I go to church and I hang around with people that go to church. That doesn't mean you're saved. I go to a grocery store. Doesn't mean I'm the owner of the grocery store. Don't be foolish. Ephesians 1, 3 and 4, blessed with all spiritual blessings. Us which are saved are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. We should be holy, without blame, before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Saved. Paul stated in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 that this came about not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Not of works, but rather for by grace are you saved. Again, them that perish and us which are saved. It is the intervening loving, merciful, and gracious, miraculous power of God that has made the difference. That's the difference. So we need a proper perspective of saved. Like so many other things, saved has been so minimized today that it means next to nothing. But saved is something. It's something that affects every aspect of your life. Living in the reality and awareness of these things. Saved. Nothing's more wonderful than being saved. Nothing's more marvelous. Nothing's more miraculous. Again, I just shake my head when people that ought to know better talk about whether or not there's miracles. And wake up. There's as many miracles today as there's ever been. God's always working miracles. Every day is a miracle. Every breath you take is a miracle. The salvation of your soul is a miracle. And nothing ought to excite us more. I mean, when you get down in the dumps, think about that word. Just keep saying that word. Saved, saved, saved. I'm saved. How can you be depressed? Oh, Brother Dan, you just don't understand. No, I don't. No, I don't. I don't understand how a child of God, how somebody who is the recipient of the greatest miracle of all time can stay depressed. No, I don't understand that. And I'll never understand that. And I don't want to understand that. Living in the reality and awareness of saved. You ever have days? We all do. Just don't feel like doing anything. I don't feel like serving God. Well, you just think about saved. You just dwell upon that. Saved. And that'll fill you with passion. That'll fill you with thanksgiving. That'll fill you with praise. How can you be saved? How can you have experienced that event and not be thankful? And that praise the one who saved your soul. Saved. Living in the reality of such. And again, to live in the reality of such, we have to live in the awareness of such. It fills our hearts with love for the one who saved us. And love is the motivator in serving God. How can you not love Him when He saved your soul? When He rescued you out of the pit of sin and from the condemnation of sin. How can you not love Him? Saved. Fills our hearts with love. It causes us to want to honor Him. It causes us to want to exalt Him and to draw attention to Him, to sing to Him, to bow to Him, to worship Him, and to live for Him. It is a mystery how those who claim to be in the us which are saved, and they have to drag their sorry lives to church. Pitiful. How can you possibly believe that you belong in the us which are saved? Has somebody told you that? Have you told yourself that? Or has it really happened that God saved your soul? When that's real, Church isn't a chore. It's a wonderful thing. Being around those who are saved becomes a wonderful thing. They're not perfect, but that ought to encourage you. That ought to encourage me. They're saved, yet they're not perfect. That gives me hope. Saved. Living in the reality of that causes us to make the one who saved us number one priority. You get a hold of, or it gets a hold of you, saved, you will not have any trouble with priorities. The reason people have problems with priorities is they've lost sight of something. If we're truly saved, we must not lose sight of that. And I'm here to tell you, you won't have any problem with priorities when that gets a hold of you. I'm saved. I'm saved. It'll cause you not to have to have what the them that perish have. You already have so much more. It causes us to make Him our goal in life. It causes Him to be the focus of our life. The direction of our life, the motivation of our life, the driving force of our life. It fills us with a desire. That is, when we're fully aware of the fact that I'm saved, it gives us a desire to serve Him without any reservations. Living in the reality and awareness of saved changes everything about us. Changes everything about us. It changes at 1 Corinthians 1:18. Changes our attitude toward preaching. Them that perish have an attitude toward preaching, and us that are saved have an attitude toward preaching. Which is it? There's only two groups and two attitudes. Now I realize because of our nature, and because of the power of sin, and because of the deceitfulness of Satan, you and I that are saved can live like we're unsaved. But I don't believe that a child of God will stay there. That's another message. Saved. Is that real? Is that real for you today? Or Dan, I've been in church all my life. That's not what I asked you. I teach a Sunday school class. That's not what I asked you. I give devotions. That's not what I asked. I sing. I play an instrument. On and on we can go. I mow the grass. I'm always active around church. Are you saved? Are you saved? And if so, is it real? Is it real to you today? How conscious and how mindful are you? Saved. How mindful are you of that? When you get up in the morning, do you stop and think, I'm saved? I'm saved. When you go through the day, does it ever cross your mind, I'm saved? How mindful are we of salvation? For you and I that are saved, oh, that would be real to us. We would live in the awareness I'm saved. That we never, ever lose sight of the wonder of such saved. That we never lose the thrill. That we never lose the excitement. You know, we preached on this before, but you look at the healing miracles of Christ, and they are pictures of salvation. And I don't believe that the ones who were paralyzed and brought out from that, the ones who were blind and brought out from that, and on we can go. I don't believe they ever forgot. They never forgot. And oh, what a thrill it must have been for Bartimaeus the first time he saw. Oh, the thrill. We must never get too used to being saved, where we forget the thrill when the Lord saved us. And when the Lord saved you, it was a thrill. But hopefully, I mean, when the Lord saved me, I had no idea of everything that took place. Through the years, the Lord has taught me, through His Scriptures, the things that did take place. And I appreciate it so much more now, realizing that what did take place. And we don't know the half of it. We really don't. The half has not been told of what took place. So I must ask you today, to which do you belong? To them that perish? May I say we were born into that group, them that perish. I look at a little infant and I think, them that perish. We're born into that. We're born into that. And you pray, Lord, please, bring them out of that. And place them into us which are saved. So I ask you today, to which do you belong? And there is no greater, there is no more important question. Them that perish, or us which are saved. I am glad. February 17th, 1972. Frankfort, Kentucky, God saved me. And I realize that there are people who don't know where they were, the exact date. I realize that. I'm glad I can remember the date and the place. But not all do. Doesn't mean you're lost. But there had to be an event in your life. Otherwise, my friend, you are in the them that perish. And that places you in the greatest danger known to mankind. Them that perish. When something is perishable, that means it can rot. It can spoil. If you're in the them that perish, you're in a rotting condition. You're not getting better. You're perishing. And one day, you're going to draw your last breath. And there is nothing sadder. There is nothing worse that can happen to anyone than to draw your last breath and still be living in the them that perish. There's only one hope today, and that's the Savior. Jesus Christ. Who are you trusting in today? What are you trusting in today? If you're saved, rejoice. If you're in the them that perish, cry out to Him. Save your soul. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.